Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is May 16th, 2022, the first day of new beautiful weather. Right, Jack?
That's correct.
Yeah, we've been waiting. If I have to hear one more person complain about lack of spring, I was going to move to Florida.
Well, it's here now.
It's here.
Yeah.
So now we can rejoice.
Look out the window.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, I got up yesterday morning and I rolled back that stone, right? It's been that kind of wintry cave doldrum. And yesterday was the day my inside had felt kind of like that. The outside had been kind of like that. But yesterday it all kind of came together, got outside, did some power washing and such. And just, it feels good. I feel like we've made the turn. I'm ready for a good summer. And yeah, so. But did you have a great weekend, sir?
I was busy, yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you felt, well, I guess, so you're running for state senate.
That's correct.
Jack Buccioni is running for state senate.
That's correct.
So you've probably been busy a little earlier in the spring, but did you feel that change that happens every year where you kind of, you're like, gosh, I've really been a little bit down?
Well, yes, you can hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
Now with the weather like this, I hope I get my broadcast voice back.
Well, so we're going to run you around. We're going to get you. We'll get it back for you.
Good.
So thank you first for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. You are running for state senate, and I told you, I don't know much about state senate. So you gave me this great card, and so we're going to learn about you. We're going to learn about your adventures headed towards running for state senate, and see if we can all learn a little bit more about it.
Okay.
So
let's go.
Yeah. How did you get started in this? I know that you live here in Painter's Mill, but let's just talk about a little bit about the journey.
Okay. I had a life.
Yeah.
And my life's work was former educator up to the graduate school level, left, went into business. My businesses were mostly around the schoolhouse, textbooks, writing textbooks, suppliers to schools, and so on and so forth. Retired early. Was very fortunate, and I'm a Democrat. You probably noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the party asked me to start to get involved because I retired young, and I did. So I ran for state house as a rookie. There was a 3-4 term gentleman that was in there, Steve Smick.
Yep.
We almost got him. We didn't. We lost, but we learned a lot. So I was asked to stay in it. And got elected to a number of positions since then within the party, including the state executive committee. So they asked me to run for state senate because Ernie Lopez is now retiring.
Yeah.
And he basically is leaving the seat open, which means after redistricting, it's all up in the air. Right. So here we are.
You say redistricting. What does that mean?
Every 10 years in every state, the political dotted lines change because they look at the populations, the shifting demographics, and they reset up the voting constituencies, if you will. So Senate 6, which is the coastal region, was redefined based on, we have a lot of retirees, you probably know that,
right,
that are moving into this area, which all of a sudden put the coastal region on the map.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's... You mean you like Bethany and
right.
Ocean View and Selbyville? I mean, Rehoboth's always been pretty popular, but I definitely see a growing population. And I mean, when we first moved, my dad grew up in Selbyville. My dad was actually the first person from Delaware to go to the Air Force Academy, class of 59. Shout out to my dad. But, you know, it was a different world back then. But, you know, Rehoboth had kind of had some popularity. Lewis, obviously. But, you know, farther down the coast towards Bethany, it was very quiet. But we definitely see a lot of people moving in that area. Is that sort of what you're talking about, the population increase down there?
Yeah, let me mention two things.
Please.
Interesting what you brought up. The coastal region I'm running for is 6, which is Milton, Lewis, Rehoboth, and Dewey. Once you get to the bridge, that's a different district.
Okay.
Okay?
Whoops.
Interesting thing.
Learning.
I've been here since the 70s and had a vacation home in Bethany since that time. We moved up here since that particular time. Here's the second thing. It was interesting. Your dad went to the Air Force Academy?
Yep. First graduating class.
Mm. He may know my brother. My brother graduated from there as well.
He probably does.
And I'll have to ask him now that I know.
He's here.
Yeah, okay, good.
Physically, not spiritually. He's actually, he still lives here.
Yeah, but if you visited, and it sounds like you may have, back then it broke away from the Army Air Corps in West Point and Naval Academy.
Well, and that's funny because I actually thought, you know, as a kid, I thought my dad was part of the first graduating class of the beginning of the Air Force, and that wasn't really the Air Corps. It was an Air Force sort of thing prior to that, but then when they built the college or the...
It was called the Army Air Corps.
Army Air Corps.
Right. And then they created the Air Force.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he's going to be honest, and I know he would be, it was how he got out of Delaware.
Yeah.
People say, are you local? And I say, listen, I think if you're local, most likely you left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Boston and New York and always had a place in Delaware. He left New York and went to the Air Force Academy from there.
Cool. Well, we'll have to find out. You have to give me his name. So I guess what you're saying is that you were living in the district because you were living down. Did you say you were living down in Bethany?
Vacation home.
Vacation home in Bethany. Yeah, that's interesting.
Not a registered voter.
Well, listen. Let's go through some of this. Some of the topics that you have because you gave me a great card that has a lot of great information on it, and I thought some of these things were really great to talk about. So the first one on here is a livable wage. Minimum $15 an hour.
Right. With the economy, I'm sure you know, a lot of folks are making below minimum wage.
Yeah.
And if you talk about this particular area, which is a service industry, call it restaurants, they don't make minimum wage.
Right.
They make $2, $3. They live on tips.
Right.
So it's tough. It's real tough. And to guarantee a minimum wage of $15 an hour now is becoming moot point because it hasn't passed. And by the time we do get it passed, it's probably closer to $20, $25 an hour just to have a livable wage.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 is a little low, unfortunately. I mean, my 16-year-old making $15 an hour now. But everything went up. We were laughing about this the other day. I'm like, everybody got a raise, and then everything went up, and we're still just broke.
Here we are.
Same.
Here we are.
Not much has changed. Yeah, I think... Yeah. A livable wage, and this was a hot topic early on. I think, you know, people would love to say, oh, we've decided that we think a lot of our employees, so we're going to raise our pay up to $14 or $15 an hour. But the reality was they really had no options. It's either that or they weren't going to have anybody working. So I feel like the transition that we went through in increasing in pay kind of had a negative backside to it a little bit. You know,
right.
It'd be nice if we said, hey, let's go to $25 an hour, you know, and that I feel like would have a little bit more of a positive spirit behind it.
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, David. The restaurants down here, which we rely on, one of the major businesses, they can't get service workers because affordable housing, traveling from inland to get there. I mean, it's a complicated issue.
Workers, they can't even get. I know a company that's looking for a CFO. And they cannot find a CFO because the CFO would have to purchase something here. And even that, the CFO can't afford to move here. And, you know, if you're going to take a beach job, you'd like to live at the beach, right? So it's not even just the workers. I mean, you know, from the bottom to the top, the struggle is really going on.
Which is also, as you go through my list, a piece of dirt in Rehoboth now.
Right.
$750,000
yeah.
to build. Mm-hmm. So who can live there? So
I don't know.
You're getting a large influx of, to your original question, up here by Lewis, Rehoboth. People are moving in that are retired. Excuse me. Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. They're retired. They're well-to-do. They're well-educated. They're well-traveled. They buy homes here. It drives the real estate up. This is an expensive place to live. Everybody likes to live by the ocean.
Right.
but there's a cost.
Well, and I think, you know, I've heard the term financial island several times. Like in the last few weeks, you know, we're starting to become a financial island here in Rehoboth. And, you know, you're wanting to be Senate, you're wanting to run for Senate of an area that's almost like Disneyland minus the castle, right? This is, you know, you drive in inland 400 miles and you're not going to find this kind of world here. And it's all because we have the beach, you know, the amount of what people pay to come here, the amount of money spent. And it's just the beach. I mean, the beach is what creates that here. I don't know. It's almost like fantasy land. It's like Fantasy Island now.
Well, here's the positive.
No, and that is, I'm not trying to be negative. It is, sure. It is what it is. But I guess my point was it's not reality almost right here. Right. You're not going to, most towns don't have 50, 60 restaurants in them, right?
Correct.
Most towns have a corporate restaurant if they're doing well in a Dairy Queen or something like that. But we, because of the beach, we have a lot of different things that go on here. And it's almost, you know, it's almost not reality in some places. And that's positive, but it's an interesting task to take on.
It's changing.
It's changing.
It's changing rapidly. I'll give an example just up here in Lewis. I had over 5,000 Democrats move in just since the last time I ran.
Wow.
5,000. Very bringing a lot of money in. They're retirees. They're very active. They want to get involved, and they do, and they don't ask much in return. Now, what that brings to us is a whole different situation, a lot of talent. I have an advisory board of folks that live on the beach. It's a tapestry of many different factions, all of which bring a lot to the party. In terms of one that I have is Dr. Muhammad Akhtar, who was the, you ready for this?
Yes.
The chair of the American Medical Association.
Wow.
So we have a lot of issues, and we talk about health for retirees and so on. He's on my board. Now, he moved into the area because he had a place on the beach. He's right. Now retired. And he has a lot to say and a lot of help that he can do. So on the upside, the beach now needs representation in Dover.
Okay.
So a lot of the folks that have come in, taxation without representation,
right.
A lot of the money from the beach goes up to Dover and up to Wilmington. We don't get it in return. So that exacerbates another problem. One of the biggest issues down here, David, is overbuilding. You know, some people talk about we're building like crazy and it's expensive, but then you have the aftermarket where you have a lot of people who want to put in a strip mall.
Mm.
And so you have the yin and the yang of that particular situation. Folks want to come in here, businesses want to follow, and so on. Here we are.
I'm a big supporter of that. To be honest with you,
yeah.
I don't understand. This conversation comes up quite a bit, you know, and we see it a lot. People move here and then they don't want to see any change. And, you know, we talked about, I worked with a local builder to, we're building a house and the conversation came up about being local. And, you know, it feels like a lot of people want to move here and get a local sticker and they want to be treated with some sort of, you know, like they're special, which is fine. But the reality is that to us, to me, local means good and bad. You know, when things aren't, you were here. Remember when they added the lane on Route 1 and we were like, oh, hallelujah, the traffic problem has been solved. And then it turns out it was for a bus. And we're like, but what about us? You know, and now the bus runs. I mean, it's a great feature that we have. We did not really have a great bus system or at least a lane for the bus. And now it's a great, it's a big, it's been a positive change, I think, for the, to seeing that bus. But a lot of people were upset. We should have an extra lane on the highway because I really, what the problem is the area between Five Points and McDonald's. That's, you know, that creates so much conversation. But the fact is that, you know, it's not that bad, right?
Well, this is an hour conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Just on that alone.
Well, I want to, hold on. I don't want to,
I want to stay on that, if with your permission.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is, smart building is where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
In terms of you have the yin and the yang in the sense of change versus no change. There is politically, which sounds like you know and you're very well versed, local rule.
Right.
Okay. I'm born here. Only people who are born here can run for office. Well, that's changing. You have a large number of people who are Delawareans by choice.
Right.
So somewhere in the middle we have to meet, and that's kind of the centerpiece of where I'm coming from, is making sure that everybody has a voice and it gets amplified, and we have smart building. We make sure that we grow and we have a sustainable area. It's a beautiful ocean environment. You agree?
I do.
Yeah. And so
the funny part, the ocean environment, honestly, isn't what's being built.
Right.
It's like, and you know, you talk about smart building. I think that where we're at right now, I think this is a great example of looking at how to do things a little bit differently. We have a community of houses, townhouses, big houses, small houses, and then we have an area of retail in here. You know, and the idea has always been, like I used to say, people complain about the traffic that we're coming from Milton. I say, well, where do you grocery shop? And they say, oh, we go to the Giant. I'd say, well, stop. We're full. You know, find a grocery store out here, which we're starting to see. We're seeing Redner's, but we're seeing a lot of these communities now that are implementing some retail spaces inside the communities, theaters, grocery, you know, just different things that kind of keep people in that area instead of driving from Milton to Rehoboth to the grocery store. I think we're seeing some of these things that are implemented, but not everybody feels like they want to recognize it.
Perfect example, where we sit right now, David, Painter's Mill.
Painter's Mill.
Okay. It's a sustainable, it's built as a little town within a town. Can I say that?
Absolutely.
And we have services here and so on. Mm-hmm. We can go out the back way, we can go the front way, whatever. So I'm agreeing with you. You know, as long as we're smart about everything and we go ahead, we're going to be okay. And that's kind of sort of what I'm really proposing here.
Yeah, I think people should recognize it, though, a little bit more vocally, right? You know, we don't – all people – it seems – I shouldn't say that. It feels like there's a group of people that just want to point out these weird things, like the negative. And it's not negative. There's a lot of growth. And one of the conversations we had a couple of weeks ago was, you know, I feel that if you're local, you take the good and the bad. You know, not every relationship is perfect, right? And you have ups and downs, but you recognize the effort that's being put in. Our goal in Rehoboth is to not get people from Five Points to the beach any quicker.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. I don't care. You could put 50 lanes out there and they'd be all full.
Sure. Sure. Sorry. Now, having said that, you brought up the other
part. Sorry, Jack.
That's okay. You brought up the other part, the environment,
yes,
which I'm big on. Dr. Ted Spickler, may not know him.
Never heard of him.
He's got more degrees than a thermometer.
Nice.
We're just, his maps that he puts out, and he talks a lot in Rehoboth, we don't have to worry about it because by 2050, the sea will reclaim all of Sussex County.
I don't believe that.
Well, whether you do or whether you don't, mm-hmm, I'm making a point.
Okay.
That we have to talk about the environment somewhere, sure, in between and so on. So you have many different factions that are playing into this entire discussion, that being one of them. So whether you believe that or don't believe that, the fact of the matter is we have a problem with water. Northern part of Sussex County, all the water comes from wells.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah.
Even in municipalities. We have a problem because a report just came out about 2 weeks ago that Delaware was dead last in terms of clean water in the country.
Mm.
Dead last.
I hadn't heard that.
Well, I'll show you the stats a little later.
That's, well, I believe you. I'm just saying I had. That's a big
That's
deal.
A problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. Okay. I hadn't heard that.
Now, what does that mean? In southern Sussex County, we have too much water. The rain, the hurricanes and so on, flooding, the roads closed and so on. So the question is, water is an issue, the environment.
Yes.
What are we going to do about that? We have to have that discussion. Because when we start talking about overbuilding, underbuilding, where to build, people coming in, that becomes part of it.
Mm.
So without going into another hour of discussion, that, as you'll see on here, what are we going to do about that? That's an issue that has to be resolved. And people are working on it.
Well, I do think we've made an effort. You know, we have one of the greatest recreational areas for bikes and running and walking and e-biking that I think that doesn't really get talked about enough. I don't know if it was Carney that was behind that, but there was some great work done. You know, when I first moved here in 94, you know, there's this Rails to Trails program that we have now. At the time, was really just kind of a back road for tractors to get around to farmland. And I would ride my bike, and there would be these sand traps that all down this road that basically said, don't drive your car down here because this is for farmers.
Sure.
But we've seen the change, and I was it Carney that was a big supporter of that?
Yes.
He was. I mean, the work that they've done, I mean, what a value, right? And I think that that's kind of going back to kind of thinking about environment.
You're preaching to the choir. You know, as long as we talk about this and we include all the talent and everybody has a seat at the table, we're good. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
It's when we go off and we start, this group wants this group wants that, we get into trouble. Because the future of this place, we all want to preserve.
Right.
And as far as people moving in, yeah, I moved in a long time ago. Again, you have a lot of people moving in.
Sure.
But that's what happens.
Yeah. No, I agree. And maybe that's what created the push for some of these changes. But what I feel, and I'm glad that I got you here, because maybe we can address some of the things, is, you know, sometimes I feel we do things about 80%. Like, there's a 20% left that we could do. But since we did the 80%, it satisfies a lot of eyes and ears. But, like, you know, I think we could do more with these trails. You know, we can only ride bikes on them. We should have a path for scooters on there. We should have bridges over the over Route 1. We should have four bridges over Route 1. The fact that we don't have any bridges over that Route 1 is absurd. People are having to walk across that road with no bridges. It's ridiculous. So bridges, more paths for bikes and scooters, and get some of these people off these highways, I think would be a bit. I don't know why we haven't addressed it.
Well, look at my card.
Let me go down the card. Let me see if that's on there. I'm sorry.
One of the ones
I should check that first.
Yeah. One of the ones that...
public transportation grid?
Thank you. Yeah.
There you go. Public
transportation. You touched on it. Bus lane and so on. Now, we had a good start on this. We put in the Lewis station. You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Governor Carney's great
station.
Governor Carney's put in, talking about clean energy and so on, 10 buses that are electric now. And, of course, that's going to go up. My point to the whole thing is let's start talking about everything. You talked about the service industry, the retail, building on the beach, restaurants, some of the finest in the world, right?
Yeah.
How do you get the service folks who can't afford to live on the beach to the jobs? So public transportation has fallen behind.
Yes, it has.
So one of the things that I'm talking about is I'm putting together a feasibility study with the gentleman who put together Maryland's public transportation. There were good things, there were bad things, but we have to move people from the east to the west here. The jobs are on the coast, the people are living in Georgetown and so on. So to get people to move, and we can't rely just on buses.
Right.
Maybe light rail, it has pluses and minuses. If I could wave a magic wand, you're sitting down, right?
Yes.
I come from a situation where I've been involved in different sustainable areas where high-speed rail is put in. I envision, and I'm not going to get it, but I envision a monorail between here and Wilmington at 220 miles an hour, right in between Route 1, and to move people for jobs back and forth. What's probably going to happen is some sort of magnetic trains. The rail beds are there and so on to move people east and west. So plan B here is as you move down, we have to move people from point A to point B.
Get back. You're losing your mic.
Yeah, we have
there
to.
You are.
Here we
Sorry.
Are. We have to move people from point A to point B. And I don't want to let that go because you talked about it. Public transportation where they can move inexpensively. Now, I'm retired now. I can buy a ticket in Lewis. I can go all the way to Ocean City. I can go to Rehoboth for 80 cents.
Yeah.
80 cents.
Yeah.
And I can park free instead of going to Rehoboth or Bethany or any of the other places. So we have a whole situation here where we have to focus a little more on that. We're not paying attention to it. We should.
Well, I think, I don't know. I remember when the park and ride started down there towards, you know, Blue Coast and, you know, the entryway to Rehoboth. And it was a kind of, you know, no offense, it was a little bit of a mess. And the wait was long. I mean, you go down there and you wait in that sun in July one day for, I don't know, half an hour, and you leave that with a bad taste in your mouth. And you mentioned that they built a new spot next to Lowe's, which is, I mean, I can tell you, I went to the fireworks the first year I moved here, and for the last 25, I had not been to the fireworks because, you know, the nightmare stories. I mean, it's, You don't have to, you know, it doesn't take a lot to figure out that it's not a great place to be driving your car at the 4th of July. And then one year we decided we would ride the new bus from the Lewis station, I guess that's what you're calling it. Wow. Amazing. I was home. The smoke hadn't even cleared, and I was already home on the bus, and it was an amazing experience, and that's the way we've used it ever since, and it's gotten a little more popular, right, because, you know, word spreads, but it was a great experience. I think we need to have more great experiences like that. The price of parking now in Rehoboth, I don't want to badmouth them, but, man, you know, and that started yesterday.
Sure.
Which is new, right? Now we're 2 weeks, you know, parking used to start on Memorial Day. Now we're going 2 weeks out. Not sure why that is. Maybe we can find that out. But, yeah, thank you, as you rub your fingers together, which is sort of a shame, but I'm sure they need the money for something. But, you know, it's becoming more and more expensive. And, you know, if trying to paint the bus in a little better, I think even if we educate people on how the bus works getting down to Rehoboth, I think maybe it may help. I mean, maybe we can lighten up the load down there on cars if people found public transportation ran a little more smoothly. And was a better experience.
Let me share a story.
Please.
You know I have a TV broadcast station.
Right.
I did a test where I took the bus from the Lewis station to Rehoboth, had lunch, turned around and came back. Then I drove it from Lewis station down to Rehoboth and back. The difference was 40 minutes faster by riding the bus.
I put it on my station.
I did about an hour. They came along with me. I had Wi-Fi on the bus. It was a great experience.
See, that'd be great, Jack. You should do that. You should do like a live stream of you riding the bus and, you know, really promoting, you know, the experience, because I don't think we've educated people well enough on that. I think that's actually really cool. I had an idea. I was thinking about this the other day when traffic showed up again the other day, right? I'm like, we should get three people. One of us get in the right lane, one of us get in the middle lane, and one of us get in the left lane. And we should all start at the same place, maybe like at Surf Bagel or something, and head towards Rehoboth and see who gets there first. Because, you know, I moved here from San Diego. In California, L.A., San Diego, they educate people on how to drive through radio. And I don't think – I had no idea there was a proper way to drive in a traffic jam. And one of the things is keep distance. – And that way you don't have to hit your brake. If the person in front of you is forced to actually hit the brake, it gives you a little space to coast without hitting the brake. Maybe they'll lift up before you even get to that point. It's a real education on how to move through San Diego, Southern California. We don't do that here. You know, and if I was to implement that same thing in my travels to getting back to Rehoboth and leave a nice bit of space, somebody jumps in there. Right? Somebody always has to get in front of you. And you're like, so now you don't want to leave the space open. It creates a lot of weird animosity going on in the travel battle. And I don't know if we can educate people, but there is a better way to drive in traffic.
Well, you've traveled. You're from San Diego.
Yeah.
Electric trains, elevated trains in Chicago, subways, alternative public transportation, very much the norm. Particularly when you travel internationally. You hit the key word. We have to educate the folks here that as we build out public transportation, it's in their best interest for many reasons. And they say, well, wait a minute. Jack, you're a clean energy guy. Electric cars, yeah, guilty. Okay? Let me say this. Jobs.
Yeah.
I went to the training center at the invitation of the IBEW, Union. International Brotherhood of Electric Workers. They have the contract nationally now to build out the charging stations. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Okay. And it's going to bring...
I thought Elon was the only one doing that.
Well, that's right, yeah. From your mouth to God's ears, right? Jobs, union jobs, are coming to Sussex County, where they're going to build out the charging stations. And over the next couple decades, electric cars are going to be here. I know there's a debate, and we can talk about that, but... That's another issue that's going to come here to improve the quality of life of Sussex County in the coastal region. But that's going to bring thousands of jobs here, including the wind power off the coast, which I'm a strong proponent of.
So thousands of jobs are going to be needed for building charging stations?
Well, that's just the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. When you get into wind power, you start talking about IBEW with the transmission lines, with the conversion to electric power, which solar. They're training all their apprentices on repairs, for home repairs, for business repairs, and so on. So this is, I went to the Carpenters Union open house last Saturday.
Okay.
Apprentices are on the uptick in this area. So it's not just charging stations. It's the conversion to a sustainable environment in a sustainable society over here on the coast.
Well, I think that's fantastic, to be honest. I mean, I just filled up this morning.
So it's not just buses.
It's not just buses. Well, and I just thought it was I think that's an interesting point that you brought up, is the fact is that I don't think we really know what takes what in time, right? You know, you probably didn't even expect that result when you did your little car bus test.
No.
And I don't know how we can make riding the bus more appealing. Maybe more buses, more selected stops. I think if we were going to, the whole reason that, you know, public transportation is a little bit of an inconvenience is because you have to stop and pick up other people, right? If it was just a bus that took me where I needed to go, it'd be different, but we still have to like stop. And so I don't know, more buses, more different stops, more direct routes, you know, a route just to the beach, different parking lots to be picked up. But it's a great service. And that bus lane is key, especially when there's a traffic jam and the bus goes right by you.
Let me give you a little personal story.
Please.
My wife and I were eating at the Blue Moon, you know, in Rehoboth.
Oh, yeah.
And our server was there.
Great
now,
restaurant.
This time of year, prior to this last week, it's not high season. So we looked over and our server was in the corner crying. So my wife says, why don't you go over and see if you can help? So I went over and I asked her, would you come to the table and what's the matter? And she says, I have to stay here now till 1 o'clock tonight. I said, okay, what's the matter? Well, the buses don't run past 10. So everything I made today, I'm going to lose. I'm either going to have to call a cab, get a hotel room or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the owner says I have to stay because we have a lot of people here. And we're going to keep the restaurant open. So I said, all right. So I picked up the phone. One of the things of being in politics is you have, pardon my answer, a Rolodex on your phone.
Sure.
So I called somebody from DelDOT. I said, here I'm sitting in a restaurant, and we're going to take care of this for the young lady, make sure she gets home and doesn't cost. But why are you cutting this off at 10 o'clock? Well, it's not high season. The restaurants aren't open. Well, I beg to differ with you on the conversation. We're sitting in a restaurant and it's packed. So, you know, this is not high tech and it's not sexy jazzy, but how come DelDOT's not talking to the restaurant association? What are your schedules up and down? And have a flexible bus station so this young lady doesn't get stranded.
Yeah.
So it's more than just tech talk. It's a matter of getting involved and getting the people talking. The service industry flexes up and down. So to get the workers from the interior to the coastal areas, which where the jobs are, it has to be talked about. So as we ramp up buses, to your point, or whatever we do, we have to make sure that we get the people from point A to point B. Now, this poor young lady, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? Now, we took care of it, and it got taken care of. And we're in talks with DelDOT about increase your time from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock when it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What a big surprise.
Well, and I think I think it's fair to say we've seen a real big change in the last 2 years, whether it was the pandemic. Well, it was the pandemic. I mean, that's when the change started. I mean, we've obviously been growing. But 2 years ago, March 15th, 2019, I don't even remember now, but when that thing started, the world changed. And all of a sudden, everybody realized, you know, wow, life's too short, grinding in these jobs. I think if we have a beach house, everybody started moving down to the beach. and they started leaving New York, and they started leaving Pennsylvania, and they started leaving all these big cities and started moving here to the beach. We now have a northbound traffic problem, Jack. We didn't used to have that. So it's obviously that we're taking on new people, and our town is changing. We've had a huge influx of people. So, yeah, 2 years ago, maybe we didn't need a bus after 10. But now we're starting to see these things start to pop up. You know, one of the big complaints that people, especially that come down here from New York, are like, well, how do you get around? I'm like, well, that's what all that money that you're avoiding paying in New York, that's what that used to buy you, a bus or a train, right? That those are nuances that are created from revenue, and we don't make them here. So we're having it. Maybe that's what we're going to start needing. You know, if we're going to get wild and crazy, we should have, you know, the town of Rehoboth should provide a bus. You know, the town, the town is built on the back of employees that work in Rehoboth. I don't know why we don't treat them better. Why don't we do something? Why doesn't the town of Rehoboth have a bus? You know, why don't we have a parking lot somewhere? I just saw that they're, what did I see? They're thinking about doing something on a vacant lot in Rehoboth. And I'm like, why don't we call that a parking lot for Rehoboth? My son rides, you know, my son works in Rehoboth. He's now having to figure out how to park. I think his boss is going to provide them with a pass, but why don't we have a town bus, you know, that takes to a big parking lot somewhere that, you know, the people that are coming in to supply this town with employment have a place to park their car.
So all valid.
Yeah.
All valid, David. I'm running for Senate.
Heck yeah.
Which is, you know, the municipalities and whatever. So let me say this, okay? Sussex County has 23% of the roads in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we only get 8 to 13% of the monies back from Dover to service our roads and to service our transportation. What's wrong with that picture? So my point being is, running for Senate, I want to make a difference. We want Senate Coastal Area 6 to have a seat at the table in Dover.
Okay.
So that we can actually amplify the voice for things like you're talking about. We don't have it right now. We don't have it. The only down ballot elected Democrat in Sussex County is Pete Schwarzkopf from Rehoboth.
Yep.
In the House. Do you know everybody else, for the most part, particularly down ballot, Senate, House, and whatever, are all Republican. In a sea of a Democratic administration. So my point being is, I want to get a Democrat in so that the voices of all the folks that have moved in here, they can now sit there and say, now, wait a minute, let's talk. And let's talk about this rapidly changing environment known as the coast.
Well, it feels like there's a little arrogance in the air prior. You know, I feel like there's going to have to be some real changes, because I think that we, you know, obviously our location at the beach, we could say and do whatever we want because people are going to come anyway. Doesn't matter. And I, you know, now we have a real local community here that's having to live here year round. And I think some of these things will be addressed. I don't want to get hung up on that.
Sure.
I don't even, you know, you started that. That was good though. I actually just came up with a great idea. A local bus. I love that. I'm sure the town
get on the
that.
Bus, Gus.
Yeah, get on the bus.
Yeah.
But let's go through some of these things, because I don't want to not mention all the things that you're going through. So I'm just going to go through this. It's on your card. It says, so the living wage, we've discussed that. Smart-only land development. That's always going to be a hot topic. Women's right to choose. It's a very hot topic right now, right, with the Roe versus Wade controversy that's going on. Public transportation grid. Sort of kind of got into that already. Decriminalize and regulate cannabis. All right, Jack, let's go.
Okay.
It's time.
All right.
So that whole thing's been a racket. Listen, I put a lot of work early on in my life to try to promote that, and it's finally starting to happen. I love it. And I do not smoke pot, but I'm just saying it's ridiculous that people go to jail or pay penalties for that. Prohibit discrimination on gender identity. Very hot topic. Same-sex marriage, very hot topic. Anti-assault weapons, high-volume ammo clips. Wow, what happened in New York yesterday, right? Very hot topic. It's, you know, thoughts and prayers to anybody that was affected by that massacre up in Buffalo. And then Medicare for all. Hey, I love that topic too. What about insurance too? Is that fall under that?
Yes.
Because my wife works for just so we can have insurance. And I'm like, we put so much money to insurance. If I could have someone put some of that money towards my business, my business would take off, right? We put all this money towards insurance. Like, we don't even really use it, all under the air quotes of, you know, something bad happening, a car accident or something. But, yeah, I think all those are very hot topics.
Thank you. Thank you. It's and each one could be an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk about, Jeff?
You pick one.
Well, I think the decriminalizing of cannabis is an interesting topic because on one side, I think it's a great idea, and on the other side, I'm not sure it's a great idea. But at the same time, alcohol has always been legal. You know, as a person that's sober, I can tell you all the problems that I've ever had in some sort of consumption way have been around alcohol. You know, DUI, I got a DUI. I've been in fights. I've stitches, you know, all of that. Alcohol. I have also been in a point in my life where I used to enjoy cannabis. Nothing. You know, maybe not, you know, taking on multiple jobs, you know, a little burned out, but it's kind of a weird, I personally, I believe as long as alcohol is legal, everything should be legal.
You just made my case. So
I should run.
Yeah.
I should run for Senate.
There you go.
No.
There you go.
They chew me up, Jack.
Let me address a couple of those. Number one, prohibition.
Mm.
Gun violence went through the roof. You've seen all the movies, Al Capone, et cetera. When that was legalized, gun violence went down.
Yeah.
It did. Okay. The second thing about it is, let's fast forward to now. First of all, for the record, I don't smoke pot. Okay. But I was heavily involved in this when I was younger.
Cannabis.
Yeah.
Well, we also have to start identifying what it is. It's not pot. It's cannabis.
Right.
It's actually a plant, and it actually does a lot of good for a lot of people. You know, it's not pot, it's cannabis.
Okay. I'm heavily involved with the legislation and the folks that are writing the legislation. Here's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
First of all, a lot of the information out there is not correct. When you study the states that legalized it, you'll hear things from my opponents that say traffic accidents went up in this. That is not correct.
No.
I can go right through each one and prove it to you, if you'd like. Where I come from is very important and very disturbing to me. A young teenager gets pulled over in a traffic stop.
Mm.
Probably 67% of the time, it's a person of color.
Mm.
They get sent to jail. Now, when they go to jail,
Because of pot?
Because of pot. So let me just finish this thought.
Sure, go ahead.
They go to jail in what's called pretrial incarceration.
Right.
And they're in jail waiting trial.
Yes.
Because they don't have the necessary means to get on bail and so on.
With the fear of going to jail.
Right. Right.
That's a big deal.
Right. But here's the other thing. We have now sent them to college, the College of Hardened Criminals, or other people who are in jail. Some of the pretrial incarcerations are 6 months. 6 months. And in 6 months, this teenager may have lost their relationship with their family, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, if they're married. What you go through there. Now they come out, and they're innocent. They're found innocent. But their life has been changed. That single issue, pretrial incarceration, flips me out.
Is that on the list?
Cannabis. Regulate cannabis.
And honestly, Jack, everything you brought up has nothing to do with cannabis. It has everything to do with the judicial system because that you want to talk about probation? That's the biggest racket in town.
Yeah, but it does have when I get involved in the folks with legalizing cannabis, this is one of the major issues they talk about. There is a connection between what we're talking about here and cannabis. It's a gateway excuse to put people in jail. And yes. I don't like that.
I don't either.
So
and I've lived regulate that, it. I've lived
regulate
that life.
And get rid of that.
I've lived that life. I've lived that life. That, you know, we sit here in the studio and we do this podcast and it may look like I've lived a great life. The reality is I had a big portion of my life where I struggled with things like that. And I've been under the thumb of probation and I've been under the thumb of the judicial system. And it's a nightmare. And they put these, you know, that you get caught with these a two-cent crime with a $2 sentence, right? You're like, I barely did anything, but you're always worried about the fear. And then they say, listen, you can cop a plea. Or you can go to trial and maybe do 50 years. And you're like, I'll cop the plea, and then you get in probation. No wonder half the country's freaking annoyed.
So if we regulate it,
yes,
we legalize it, we take that off the table.
But what about getting rid of probation? Is that too much, Jack?
Well,
sorry, we'll stay on the cannabis. I apologize.
Is there a reason? Are you, can I help you with some of that? Or
I'm sober, bro. I am not. I that is not a problem. But I do think that, you know, if somebody, whether it's cannabis or, you know, listen, if you get caught and you do a crime and they sentence you to do the time, you should be done. You should be done. You shouldn't have to be this fourth waiver person that, you know, that makes little mistakes and all of a sudden you're thrown back into the system.
It's and how about expungement of
felonies?
Yeah.
Expunge them.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's absurd. I don't particularly think that the world believes, and I don't really know what the whole world believes, but I don't particularly think that most people sit around going, this is the right way. I don't think that. And I think especially when a family member gets involved in something like that and then their eyes become really open to what goes on. But it's unfortunate. It's sad, the judicial system. I mean, I appreciate it, but, you know, crime still goes on. We have to figure out something.
So here's the good news. Over the weekend or the last week, cannabis has passed the House and so on. It's on its way in the Senate. It's on the governor's desk. He may pocket veto it. He's against it. So we're waiting to see what happens.
Why is he against it?
You'd have to ask him.
He hasn't publicly said why?
No. I don't have a... I'm a John Carney fan, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
But I can't answer that question for you. I don't know.
Well, it'd be nice if it was like, yeah, you know, we get it and we should legalize it. But I have a feeling it's about money. Figuring out how to create revenue from something like this. And they just maybe haven't figured it out. But probably has money involved. But I hope it happens. I don't, and I'm not a pot smoker. I mean, I just think that it's
cannabis.
It's cannabis. Yeah. Thank you, Jack. Jack,
from your mouth to God's ears.
That's right. I love it. I think that's a big deal. But these are, you know, the public transportation, decriminalizing of cannabis, gender identity. Do we have an issue with gender identity here?
Yes. On my it's a hot topic with the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
And on my campaign staff, I have advisors. And my advisor for the trans community is Kathy Carpenter Brown. I don't know if you know.
I've heard the name.
Okay. And so I've spent a lot of time with her. In terms of, you talk about insurance, okay? Insurance exclusionary codes put on a trans person's attempt to get medical service, and so on. But it's a big topic.
That's
not fair. So that goes over into that. In the schoolhouse, you know, a lot of the trans issues, there's a lot of hate out there, and there's a lot of hate that has translated into many, many bills that have been put into the state legislature just for all the wrong reasons. And so we're on top of that. I'm very plugged into that. I'll tell you a quick story about Kathy Carpenter, and she won't mind. She won't mind.
Maybe we'll get her on.
She'd be a good good person to get on. She was the captain of the wrestling team at Cape Henlopen High School.
Wow.
And so good. And she's on my campaign committee with Bill Kolick, who was her coach.
Wow.
He was the football coach there and the wrestling coach. Both of them are on my committee. One's over here, one's over here. But they get along very well because of equal rights. So Kathy, it was so good that Bill Kolick got her a Division I scholarship for wrestling to Delaware State.
Wow.
Kathy was immediately recruited on graduation to work at Walt Disney World and had a very high office there. So we're not talking about somebody who, you know, she's very visible. She's very astute with these types of things. I think you should get her on.
Sure.
She would speak it better than
I
do.
If you can help with that, I'd love to have her on.
Yeah. So let me stop there. It's an issue.
Let's talk about land.
Okay.
I mean, as I have this conversation with you, I tend to think more country, not Sussex County, you know. A lot of these issues that you have that you're working on, I feel like our country, When I think of them, they really represent more country, the United States issues. But when I think about like Sussex County, like this, from here to my house, right? You know, I think the biggest topic right now would be land. You know, land development. Where's, why can't they just stop building these houses? You know, and you know, as a person building a house right now, you can't. It's hard to find even a house. You know, it'd be one thing if we were building houses and nobody was buying them, but there's a lot of people buying houses, so. How do you come to a solution if there even is a solution?
Well, it gets back to what we were talking about before. You have yin and a yang between the county, the municipalities, and the state.
Right.
Now, I call it overbuilding. The motivation for developers to build is there's a lot of money involved. You said it earlier. So
there's a lot of money for builders that have established themselves.
Yeah.
It's not like we're not shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, if you have, if you've been a builder since the 90s here and you've been working hard, yes, there is a plenty of building and money to be made if you are an established builder. That doesn't mean that, you know, anybody can just start building, right? I mean, there has to be some work that's been taking place prior to this before you all of a sudden become a builder. I mean, you, let's think of the builders, right? Shell, Ryan. These different builders, really, they're the ones that are killing it because they've done a lot of hard work.
So let me answer your question.
Sure.
Yes. And this has been going on. I call it the good old boy network, if you will.
Mm.
They're very powerful, very large. And when you talk about the political groups that are in, there's been very little change in terms of people who are in office now. And I, you know, you can see my face. There's a little bit of a conflict of interest. Let me say it again. There's a lot of conflict of interest in terms of who gets bids, who bills, and so on. So what we're talking about here is, you know, the other part of it is people will say affordable housing. You know,
Wait a minute, real fast. What do you think goes into a decision when a builder is picked? Do you think it's favoritism, or do you think it's the hard work that they've been put into, that's been put into these projects?
I think there's a thing called the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. You're familiar. And then each municipality, Rehoboth, whatever, they have their comprehensive plans that push to the state. Now, I'm going to answer your question. I just need to get a little background here. So builders, okay, go in for exceptions to the comprehensive plan. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to last for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they go in and change the ordinance where we can make the buffers or we can make the wetlands a little closer. We can increase the density. And they go to the political people who have been in there for a long time. The relationship from the politics in existence today to the builders, for my blood, is too close.
Right.
So they cut a deal. Okay, we're going to, right across the way, let's look over here.
New road. Oh,
you even have to look over here.
Oh, yeah. Across Route 1, okay.
Yeah, there was a big mall that was going to be put in there.
I thought it should have been put there.
Yeah, well, you and I will disagree on that. But let me just finish my thought.
Please.
Okay, so this neighborhood you're sitting in here right now was against it. Why? Because they were going to change the ordinances, and they were going to go against the existing plans and so on to fit a round peg in a square hole. Now, having said that, that created a group called SARCH, which is most of the neighbors around here, that fought it. So that was put to bed, and it was denied. Recently, in the last 2 months, it came up again. So this continual, let's revisit, is a problem. Now, you talked about New Road.
Mm-hmm.
Clear-cutting woods, upsetting the Great Marsh over here.
Yeah.
Now, again, we're using the reference of Painter's Mill here. Right.
Right.
When you go to the meetings, they say, oh, Hurricane Sandy, and don't worry about it. The ocean doesn't come very close. You're here. There's Route 1 right over there. We can see it.
Yeah.
During Sandy, the water from the ocean was breaking over Route 1. They said it would never happen. It happened. Then they go back in and they say, let's build all this, cut the trees down.
Wait a minute, Jack. What? The water was breaking over Route 1 during Sandy?
Yes.
It was breaching through the...
It was right over the road. Yes. I'm an eyewitness, and I'll sign an affidavit for you.
Okay.
All right, trust me. Never. I testified on at county council because they were all saying it could never happen, and I showed pictures and photographs. So that's immaterial. You brought up New Road.
That's what kind of material. That's kind of a big deal. Yeah. I mean, if it's the basis for reasons why we're not going to build anything, because I'm assuming that's why.
It's part of it.
Okay. So it is material. It is a good point.
So we go to New Road, which you brought up. You notice all the trees were cut down.
It's funny. I haven't been down New Road. All I hear about is the stories, though, of New Road.
Right.
I haven't been down there.
Picture all the trees were cut down.
I heard that.
What do you think?
Well, and there's also some little shady activity. And I don't know. Maybe this happens if you're more of a prominent builder. But, you know, there was some dirt being dumped down there. As a person that is right here, 500 yards from the entrance to New Road, I'm awfully curious why there's so many dump trucks going in with dirt and not coming out with dirt. So, and I think that's been brought up. It happens, right? I mean, there's some shady stuff that New Road's been an interesting topic, right?
Yeah. And the opposite of that, of course, is affordable housing, jobs, and homelessness and so on. Now,
well, listen, so, I think Shell Brothers have been trying to work on building some affordable, they're putting the apartments back behind Walmart. I know it's like, my wife's like, it's so crowded. And I go, well, that's apartments, right? But is that fair to say that we have seen some effort by some of the, at least Shell Brothers, to try to build some affordable housing?
What do they cost?
I have no idea. They're probably not affordable, but I mean,
all right,
what do they rent
this.
For?
Let me ask you this. 3-bedroom house, affordable or work, the new word is workforce housing for teachers, nurses, whatever. $1,795 for a 3-bedroom. Can you afford that?
Can I afford it? I can.
You can?
I can afford it, but I have a house. I don't need
it. Okay, all right. Let me phrase it another way. What do you think? Is that affordable?
I don't know. It's funny because a lot of the jobs here really are for like high school kids, right? These are like, in my mind, this is what it would feel like. If you're growing up, you're in high school, you work down at the beach for the summer. But now we have such a big community of people that are living here and are actually using these jobs as a year-round job, as like a job. And yes, working at, a cookie or a coffee shop. Yeah, no, you can't afford that. I get it. It's expensive. You're right.
But that's
a big apartment, 3-bedroom.
So I'm just talking about the apartments you're mentioning.
Right.
And you mentioned Shell Brothers, okay? And so there is a debate that's going on of affordable housing versus, let's talk about $750,000 for a piece of dirt. So the question comes up, not in my backyard. Nobody wants affordable housing in the backyard. Mm-hmm. I would submit to you that I don't think that's the case. We have to sit down and we have to talk about this quite a bit more for a balanced approach. I think it's more of, maybe you can relate to this, you're younger than me, but the Joni Mitchell song, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody here is afraid of, I think. When I go out and I knock on doors, yeah, we want affordable housing. Yeah, we want to develop this and so on, but let's do it and let's talk because we don't want it to turn into a low-end strip mall.
Well, it's funny because when this painter's mill was built, there was a development over to the left that didn't want it here.
Correct.
And then they built it. And then the people moved into it. And now the people in painter's mill don't want something here. It's always, you say, and the statement you just made, the people don't want this to happen. And I'm not sure that the people is a fair statement. I think the community next to it doesn't want it. But if you've lived here since 94 and you are a local and you go with the highs and the ups and the downs of living in this area, it's important that we have some shopping. Everybody goes to the outlets. Why not if we built a mall out here where people can come and shop? Why is that? What is that? What's so bad about that?
Let me answer your question.
Except for the people that moved here from New York that doesn't want to see, retail being built, they're the ones that have a problem with it. Not everybody. I don't think that's fair.
Let me answer your question, okay?
And I'm not trying to oppose you, Jack.
This is
a conversation.
It's devil's advocate is
right.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. What I'm proposing is the communication, the public, ability to talk. What do they want? In many cases, That's cut off by planning and zoning and bypassed. I attended a meeting at county council. The state stepped in. Remember, I'm running for state. And told them, yeah, you can say you're going to do this, but remember, there's incorporated areas and unincorporated. We have the money that we give you. So therefore, you're not talking to us. You're not talking to the public. You're unilaterally just moving on without public hearings. That's what my counter to your argument is. It's not a matter of we don't want this, we don't want that. The assumption that everybody wants this or I don't know. Let them talk about it. So you talk about Painter's Mill. Painter's Mill, there's building going on right here.
I know that. You mean there's debuilding. They're tearing everything down over there.
And everybody's okay with that right now because it's within the zoning, just so you know. You don't hear Sarge. You don't hear everybody else talking about this. They're talking about...
Well, there was a pretty, you know, there's some a little bit of a shady area over there. I think probably people are excited to kind of get that cleaned up.
Well, again, I heard that. How do you know that that's what they want? What I'm saying is what we're not getting is public hearings, and we're not getting people having a voice. That's where I'm trying to make my point here. It needs to be a little more open in terms of what the people want. Because the Painter's Mill people, you know, we say we didn't want this or didn't want that or whatever. I would suggest to you, done in a balanced way and in a smart way where you are inclusive, I think you're going to get a lot further in terms of building a sustainable future for this area. However, forces at work where people just come in and they just make alterations or changes without public comment or without public involvement is where you have an issue with me.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I really don't care about that field over there. I really don't care about them all. What's more important is why don't we have bridges over Route 1? Let's get something going for scooters and paths so that these people on scooters have a safe way of traveling and not getting whacked out every summer. Let's get bridges. I mean, if I live, you know, back behind the Wawa on, you know, towards the Breakwater Trail, I can't ride my bike over to Taco Rio. I have to basically ride my bike halfway down the block, catch a light, crosses a car, ride along the bus path to get down to Taco Rio. I mean, how come we don't have a bridge? There should be a bridge at every outlet, right? And the outlet should pay for them. Why not? I mean, why not? That's the kind of stuff that's... I could care less about this mall. I mean, this is such a hot topic the other day, and I was like, it's only important to people that live out here, it seems to be. The people down in Rehoboth probably don't care about that mall, so...
Well, it does affect the traffic flow as well. The state, DelDOT, owns and manages 90% of the roads here. Let's start there. Okay, so we can't just jump around and say this one's going to pay or that one's going to pay. Who's responsible? So the point being is DelDOT needs to be more involved in terms of talking to the people, my opinion. Now, they've made some attempts, don't get me wrong. But to your point, you're not going to find an argument here, okay?
And that should be on the card.
It is.
Is it? Well, I guess it does. I guess it falls under public transportation.
If you look at also on the front, there's many, many issues. I try to group them into three. Okay, environment, quality of life, and transportation. That's I could fit everything under that.
Yeah.
It gets too convoluted. You know, single issue people will come out and they will hammer on something, but it's all connected.
Sure.
So my point being...
Well, it falls... I think it's under the top one, right?
Yeah.
Or the second, quality of life.
Sure.
Quality
sure.
of life.
But you're not going to find an argument with me with biking or with... I'm a horse person, used to have horses and go on horse trails and so on. That's a different subject. You don't have that down here.
No. Well, if you go, you know, and I don't want to, you know, we like going to Virginia Beach sometimes in the fall. And Virginia Beach has a nice system there. They have a running trail. They have a biking trail. They have a walking path. They have a stroller trail. I mean, they've given, and it's all year. You know, the fact that we can't ride bikes on the boardwalk during the summer is, you know, I mean, I get it, I suppose, but, you know, Virginia Beach does a great job with, you know, keeping people out of their cars.
Well, I'll give you a big city,
sure.
Chicago. There's a lot of green planned green space in between, and it's all well thought out where it goes and where it doesn't and so on. So getting back to what's going on here, I want a sustainable green thought process, if you will. And one of the things... Green Amendment. You didn't talk about Green Amendment.
I didn't. I'm sorry. I missed
it. I'm on the legislative committee to write that. We did. We're having a big rally in Dover tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And the idea behind the Green Amendment is there is a constitution, a Bill of Rights in Delaware. You have the right to freedom of speech, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do not have the right for clean air, clean water, or the lifestyle you're talking about with the bikes.
No.
So in the Green Amendment legislation, and we have a prime sponsor, which is Representative Wilson Anton, who's already put it in, House Bill 220. We want to get that passed. And if that happens, it becomes a Bill of Right insertion. It actually means there are teeth in this law. Instead of going through DENRAC or some of the oversights, we can now, if somebody's a bad corporate neighbor or we have some of these shenanigans, they can actually be taken to task.
What's our biggest threat against our green environment here in Sussex County?
Lack of planning, overbuilding. Planning is too, it's not coordinated. And through the state, we can coordinate it. Most of the coastal region are municipalities. So when I talk about county council, unincorporated areas, there's some, but it's mostly you have to talk to Rehoboth, you have to talk to Lewis, you have to talk to Milton, and they talk to the state. That's why I want to run for state.
No, I love it. I think, these are some great issues. I think that it's important that we start talking about some of this stuff. And I love it. So what does the next few months look like for you? I mean, when does this all get going? I mean,
it's going at a light speed.
Feverish pitch.
Yeah. Every day. You can see I lost my voice from knocking on doors. The good weather is going to bring that back.
Oh, it's so nice.
So meeting the people, talking to them on face-to-face.
Mm.
But in addition, I do digital marketing. I have my own TV station, as you know. And the primary is September 13th.
September the 13th, 3 days after my birthday.
There you go. I think they made it that way, didn't they?
Well, if they had made it that way, it may have been one day after.
Okay. So the primary is the 13th, and that winner will advance to the general election, which is November 8th.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Who are you running? I mean, do you have an opponent?
Sure. In the primary, there was 6 people. One was your friend, Ryan Peters.
Hey, Ryan. Oh,
yeah, shout out to him, right?
Shout out to Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, he was running for...
State Senate.
Oh, he was?
Yes. Yes.
I thought he was running for something else.
No. And he dropped out of the race, so there were 6.
Well,
now there's 2, me and another gentleman.
We will not mention his name.
We will not mention
his name. Okay. I love it. Politics is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So we go to September 13th. There's a vote. And then the winner of that advances to the primary election where we go against Steve Schmick.
We rented our house to Steve Schmick back in the day. He was a state cop, right?
Yes.
State police officer. Yeah, he rented our house while his house was being built.
Okay.
So that's how we know Steve Schmick. Good guy. So when's your next, if people want to come and hear what you're putting out there, where can they, do they have to wait till you come knock on their door, or are you doing any events?
I have about 2-3 events every day. Let me go back a couple days.
How can we follow you? Like, are you on Instagram, I suppose?
Go to my website, which is buccioni22.com. That's BUCCHIONI 22.com.
What about your Instagram?
You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on TikTok.
Okay, good. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because it's tough for us old guys to fire up these new social media platforms. My daughter says, Daddy... Because I told my daughter yesterday, I go, I think I'm going to have to hire you to do a TikTok for the podcast or for something. You know, I have no interest in any of it. You know, maybe a little Facebook and Instagram. But I was telling my daughter I'd have to hire her. She's like, all right, Daddy, well, first you're going to have to get your TikTok account downloaded. And I was like, oh. But it's tough. You know, we're in for guys like us, it's a tough world out there.
Well, we do, much like you, we do broadcasts where we have key stakeholders in politics on our show. The last one we had was biogas, which is a big issue in this particular area. And we broadcast those. You can go to bluecoasttalk.com.
Okay.
or we push it quite a bit. We have an audience of about 60,000 in Delaware on our shows. And so we talk about a lot of the issues that we're talking about today. Who's for, who's against, what do you think, and so on. But here's the thing. Don't assume that retirees don't know anything about the internet. Because a lot of the people that have moved into this area mm-hmm. are high-tech people.
Sure.
And now, I will say this. There are many people in the coastal area who think Facebook is the internet and there's nothing else. So we also have a Facebook page.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that there's a lot of technical people moving to the area. It's just the desire. And I'm technical, right? I get it. Right. But I have no desire to do TikTok. I'm just getting to, I'm getting older and I just don't really care. So, but you're forced to, and I love it. I think it's great, Jack. I'd like to see people kind of get out of their comfort zones. Listen, we're just getting comfortable with Facebook, right? And now we got TikTok. So, and that one requires a little more work. So it's just, I was afraid you were going to say we don't have an Instagram and we don't have a TikTok. And I'm glad you do.
I'm very fortunate that I have a lot of young people on my staff.
Right.
And what you're raising right now is they're going, oh no, we have to be here, 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 and here.
And you have to have fun with it. Yeah. You can't just talk about, hot topics. You have to be, take little reels and TikToks of like handing out pens. Hey, you put you in the loop, you're having fun out there. And that's, it's funny, man. We've gone, remember when we were kids, movies were 2 hours and then they went down to an hour and a half and then an hour sitcom, then a half hour. And now we're entertained by these 1-2 second little clips.
We had 3 stations.
Yeah.
In my day.
Right.
Maybe not yours.
No, my day. Listen, I'm 53. I was talking to my father-in-law last night. We were talking about Hee-Haw. I was like, yeah, I remember Hee-Haw. I used to change the channel on the TV with my foot, right? Before remote controls and all that. So, we've come through some good times. And listen, I appreciate you, Jack. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. And anything else you want to say before we end our little chat here?
David.
Anything I missed?
You've just opened the door, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Great to meet you. Please, if you want to come, anything else going on, please come back. We'd love to have you. The door's always open for you, Jack.
I think I want to have you on my show.
Listen, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
But let's get some bridges over this damn highway. It's terrible. I want to go to Tacarillo on my bike.
Okay.
All right, well, Jack, so it's Jack Buccioni, and you're running for state senate, and we appreciate it. Thank you for all the hard work, and if you see Jack out on the streets, shake his hand, listen to what he has to say, and we appreciate it. All right, bud?
Thank you, David.
All right, thanks, sir. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.